Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We're going to get started here this evening with a word of prayer. And we just encourage you to stick with us here tonight, be all on until midnight tonight, but we just love to have you give us a call. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on tonight. Thank you for, just the opportunity to serve you another day. We just pray that you would bless now as we in the program this evening have an opportunity to be able to be a blessing, encouragement to somebody, to point people that are searching to Christ and to encourage believers in their walk with you. Help us, Lord, to be used for your glory. Again, we just pray that you bless now, watch over us tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, good to be on with you tonight, and we're certainly blessed to live in a free country, enjoy the freedoms that we have, and part of the reason that we have these freedoms is because of the holiday that's going to start in, in about 55 minutes, and that is Veterans Day. Veterans Day, of course, the 11th of November. Here in the United States, they tried at one point, I think back in the 70s, to try and move all the major holidays to a Monday. And they did that with a number of them. For instance, Memorial Day is observed on the last Monday in May, and they did that with several others, but there's some they couldn't do that with. They could not do that with Easter, because Easter is always on a Sunday, obviously. They could not do that with Christmas, because Christmas is December 25th. They couldn't do it with New Year's Day, because it's kind of hard to celebrate the New Year on the 3rd or the 4th or something like that of the month, or, day of the week of the year. It's got to be on January 1st, and so there's certain days they couldn't move. They tried to move Veterans Day, but it was kind of hard, because Veterans Day originally was called Armistice Day, and it was a remembrance, of course, of the end of World War I, which ended 101 years ago, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And so it's kind of hard to say the 11th hour of the 11th or 10th or 12th or 13th or maybe the 9th day of the 11th month. You know, it just doesn't have quite the same ring, does it? And so they were successful in keeping it on the 11th of November. And of course, as I said, it was originally called Armistice Day, and it commemorated the end of World War I. And now, of course, it has come to be a day of remembrance for all of our veterans. And so on November 11th, we have Veterans Day. And if you or somebody in your life is a veteran, I hope you'll do something special tomorrow. And of course, if you are a veteran, we certainly want to thank you for your service. We want to thank you for your sacrifice and willingness to be in service to your country. Now, this is one, we get a pretty good sized audience in Canada up on the north side of Lake Erie. And this is, we'll have our Canadian caller Terry with us here momentarily. And I'll have to ask him about Veterans Day, because this is something that Canada played a large role, and probably on a percentage basis, probably sent more people into World War I than America did. And so we'll chat about that in a minute here as well. But I just wanted to share a couple of things here about Veterans Day before we get to our callers. And I also wanted to let you know, too, that we're kind of sandwiched today. As I was telling our church, we're sandwiched between two holidays. We have the Veterans Day holiday tomorrow, but yesterday on November the 9th, it was the 30th anniversary of the tearing down of the Berlin Wall. Now, I should say the beginning of the tearing down of the Berlin Wall. And for those of you who remember the Cold War days, we had quite an experience, if you think about it, with the Berlin Wall that separated the Eastern Berlin, the Russian sector, from West Berlin, which was the free sector. It was the American sector, the British sector, and the French sector, I believe it was. American, French, and British, I believe. And when World War II ended, Russia began pushing communism across much of Eastern Europe. Now, keep in mind, under the Nazis, it wasn't too far from communism because Nazi Party was a communist organization. People think it was some kind of right-wing extremist group, which it was not. The Nazi Party was the National Socialist Party. Socialism is communism light. And you say, well, they're fascists, and fascists are right-wing. Oh, think about this for a minute. Mussolini, the leader of the fascists in Italy. Mussolini was a communist, and the reason I know that is because he was the chief editor of Avante, which was the leading socialist communist newspaper in Italy prior to World War II, and so he was a communist, and forward is the translation, Avante, forward, which is the same thing that was used by Lenin and Trotsky and then later Stalin and all of the Soviet leaders as they were advancing the cause of communism. They would have these pictures. I remember seeing some posters that showed these like stylized Art Deco kind of looks of Lenin and things like that in profile as they were marching toward the future, and the worker, the perfect worker image, marching toward the future with the Russian word for forward underneath it. And then, of course, later when the communists took over in Hungary, they took over under the banner of forward. And if forward sounds familiar, you might recall that we had a recent president in office whose initials were Barack Hussein Obama, whose campaign slogan was forward. Same slogan that Trotsky and the Lenin and the later Stalin, all of them used, the same slogan that the communists in Hungary used, the same slogan that Mussolini and the communists of Italy used, and it was forward, and they pushed that idea. So, at any rate, when you look at that, you kind of wonder, and you start to put things together, you wonder where they're going with some of this. But as I said, we had the beginning of the tearing down of the Berlin Wall, which was 30 years ago on November the 9th. And I remember when I was in the Air Force, I was stationed in England, and we had a base in Berlin that occasionally we had people who would go there for various reasons or have to take something there. And of course, because of our clearances and all, there was certain ways that you could get into Berlin because West Berlin was surrounded by East Germany, which was a communist country. It was behind the Iron Curtain. And so after World War II, when the Russians dropped down what became, I believe it was Winston Churchill who coined the term the Iron Curtain. But when they cut off Eastern Europe from the West, they built borders and put up guards and everything and walls and things, not to keep people out of the Eastern European countries, but to keep the people in the Eastern European countries from fleeing into the West, because they were trying to flee communism and make it into a place of freedom. And the young people who are enamored with socialism and communism today, they need to revisit the history of the Cold War era and learn a little bit about exactly what communism is. You know, Hitler killed his thousands, Stalin killed his tens of thousands easily, enforcing communism. And you say, well, communism and socialism are totally different things. Now, socialism is just a nicer phase of communism. And one of the reasons I know that is because the country, the USSR, was the Union of Soviet Socialist republics, and that was the leading communist country in the world. They contended, of course, with the People's Republic of China, which was communist as well, and they fomented communist revolution around the world during the time of the Cold War. Well, they cut off Berlin. And we had the Berlin airdrop, where we took airplanes over and flew over Berlin and dropped food and supplies to help the Berliners. They even dropped coal, I believe, so that they could have something to keep warm in the winter. And finally, they negotiated the treaties, which established a land route with a train route and a road that you could drive to get from West Germany into West Berlin. And of course, it was very tightly regulated because you're driving through the East German countryside to get there. And then there were three air routes that they were allowed in. And of course, like I said, when I was in England, people were able to go there for various reasons, or had to go there for various reasons. They had to go by air because they didn't want them going on the ground where they could possibly get picked up. And they didn't want to take a chance of that happening. So you could only fly in. They fly into the Berlin airport, which was one of the busiest airports in the world at that time. And, of course, once you got there, you could see the Berlin Wall. I almost got to go to Berlin during that time. And a couple people from our base that went there, they said it was really kind of an eerie feeling. You would go up on the wall on the American side, and you could look across what they called no man's land over to the East German side, and you could see the guards looking at you with loaded rifles pointed at you, that if you tried to come over the wall or tried to come in their direction, their basic order was simply to shoot to kill. And I remember, as I was learning about some of the things when I was stationed in England, learning about some things, hearing some things about the Berlin Wall, it was very interesting because it wasn't just a wall. There was some space between the walls where it was called no man's land, and it would be mined or had automatic machine guns in there that would shoot at things that moved, and some portions actually had vicious dogs that patrolled it, trained to attack anything or anybody that got in there. And so there were cases where people would try to crash through the wall or get over the wall or tunnel under the wall or make a homemade balloon and get over the wall that way. We had a guy when I was in the station in England, we heard a story about a guy that had a truck, and he got a bunch of scrap metal in the cab with him. When he got lined up, he pulled the scrap metal up around him to make a makeshift barricade to armor himself, and he just like floored the truck and used the weight of the truck to crash through the roadblocks. And as the East Berlin guards or East German guards shot out the tires and shot up the engine and tried to shoot him to kill him and stop him, the weight and the momentum of the truck carried him through to the American sector and into freedom. And people were willing to risk their lives for an attempt at freedom. That's how pleasant it was to live under communism/socialism. People risked their lives to escape it. And study the Cold War. If you get a chance, go down to the Air Force Museum down at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base near Dayton, Ohio, and take a tour of the Air Force Museum there. It's free to get in, and it is a treasure that's really basically pretty much in our backyard. It's not far away. It doesn't take long to get down there. You can make a day trip out of it, or you can go down, spend the night, and come back. And they have a great exhibit there on the Cold War, and you'll learn a lot. You'll have a greater appreciation for the people who served during the Cold War, and as well as those that served. You'll see a history of air power through all the way through World War I, World War II, through the Cold War, and up to the modern era. You'll have a greater appreciation for what these people have done. I remember going down there when the Cold War exhibit opened and actually seeing some stuff that I had somewhat of a familiarity with from my time in the Air Force. And so I'm looking forward to going down there again sometime. It's been a couple of years since I've been down there, but let me encourage you to check that out. So at any rate, when President Ronald Reagan stood in the Brandenburg Gate and he had a speech and he challenged Gorbachev, the then secretary of the Communist Party in Russia, leader of the Soviet Union, and he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Now that line, well, he was told by all his advisors and by the State Department, "You can't say that. You can't say that. It's going to cause an international incident." And they made him take it out. Well, he said it anyways. It became one of the most iconic lines of the speech and one of the greatest lines that he ever uttered. And that led to eventually, of course, the wall coming down. And when that wall came down, the people on the other side rushed for the chance at freedom. Well, I was going to say, when you had the wall in operation with the guards guarding the wall, workers periodically would have to go in and maintain, you know, some of the stuff in no man's land. And so they had guards that would guard the workers, lest the workers run for the other side and try to get over into freedom. And then, of course, there was the fear that the guards themselves would run for freedom, so there were guards guarding the guards who were guarding the workers. That's pretty good. You know, what does that say for communism and socialism when you have a government that has to have guards who guard the guards who are guarding other people to keep them not from coming into your country? That's the problem we have in the United States. We got thousands of people trying to get across our border all the time. We got people guarding the border trying to keep people out. They had people guarding the border, guarding the guards who guarded the people who were guarding the border to keep people in, because the system was so horrible that people had to flee. Look at Venezuela. People get out of Venezuela, they will, because they're starving to death under the fruits of communism / socialism. Well, thank a veteran. If you're a veteran, I want to thank you for your service. I want to thank you for what you did. You know, we had a thing that we passed out at our church today, and it says, "A veteran, whether active duty, retired, National Guard, or Reserve, is someone who at one point in their life wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount of up to and including their life." And of course, for our Canadian listeners, we would substitute "made payable to Canada for an amount of up to and including their life." So thank you to any veterans that are listening. And if you're listening and you have a family member or friend or neighbor, coworker that's a veteran, be sure to thank them tomorrow for Veterans Day. And well, you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we will just tick through our phone calls here. Of course, you can give us a call here tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to pick up Terry here first. I know we're coming to the end of our first half hour, but Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening.
Hey, good evening. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well.
I have to ask you, you guys do Veterans Day in Canada, right?
Yes, tomorrow.
Yeah, so we are all on the same page. I assumed it did. Now, do they call it Veterans Day or Armistice Day still?
Veterans Day.
Yeah, I think I was pretty sure Canada did too, but I knew you'd know that, so I was confident on that. And like I said, Canada, I believe on a percentage basis, especially in World War I, contributed more people on a population, you know, percent of population than the United States did. I mean, a lot of Canadians served admirably in protecting our freedoms. So
was it D-Day?
Yeah, well, in World War II as well, same thing on a percentage basis. Yeah. So, but I know we're going to come up on the break here really quick, and we can hold you over. And we've got a couple other callers as well. But what's your question for us tonight, Terry?
Well, I was going to mention that Reagan, you know, thank God for Reagan, because Reagan said to Gorbachev, tear down that wall.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying, is he was told by the State Department to take that line out. It was too inflammatory.
Right.
And but he put it in. In fact, I think I heard that he let them take it out, but when he was giving the speech, he put it in purposely. Well, he was called a great communicator for a reason. You know, he knew what was going on, and he understood the impact of those things.
Yeah, there was a lot of countries that joined in the Poland-Germany war, and
Well, and like I said, during the Cold War, if you think about it, we had what was called the Dew Line, remember? And we had a series of radar installations up across in the north of Canada and stretching across there for fear that there would be a strike from the Soviet Union, a missile launch coming across the North Pole. And so joint operations Canada and the United States, in fact, still NORAD, the North American Air Defense, that was a joint operation of Canada and the United States, defending the free world, keeping them safe from the Soviets. Eventually, of course, the Soviet Union crumbled. Canada and the United States are still here. Hey, Terry, you got less than 20 seconds. You want to hold over?
Sure.
Okay, we'll hold over, and we're going to take a short break here. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I almost said Faster Al. With Pastor Al. Stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. Well, I think we've got more than 10 seconds, I think. So we'll get there eventually. I think our mic is live. How much time do we have before the mic goes? Listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. We're brought to you tonight, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and of course, you just had some of that information there in the break. Has some more at the end of the program about our church and various things, but you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And you can follow us on or like us on Facebook, however that works, and keep up with some things that are there. And I tend to publish a number of articles there or copy and repost them, I guess is how it is, forward them, however you want to say it, and different news items. Usually as I'm reading stuff for getting ready for things for church or for our Bible study or for the radio program, and I find stuff, I like to post them there because I'm kind of a newsaholic, and it's a great place to post them so that I can come back and find them later on a little more easily, and so hopefully they're a blessing to people as well. You can see some of the stuff that I'm reading, and I certainly don't post everything that I'm looking at. I don't have time and the ability to do all that, keep up with everything, but I encourage you to find us there. You can also find us on YouTube at our Facebook page, or I'm sorry, our radio page, Live with Pastor Al on YouTube, and you can just go to YouTube and search for Live with Pastor Al, and you can find us there. We've got, well, that's the name of the channel, Live with Pastor Al. We've also got a channel there for our church as well, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you can find that as well. But all that information you can find and link to pretty much if you'll go to our homepage at livewithpastoral.com. Also brought to you tonight, not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, but brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you've never been there before, mention Pastor Al or Live with Pastor Al. You can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza. Pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100. Located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. All right, we're going to get back to our program here, and had a note there. The engineer is being heard, so on YouTube. So good to know. So there we go. See, now you got to watch what you say when we're off the air. Well, actually, you know, they always say any time that you're around microphones, you should always assume there's a live mic somewhere. And we were talking about Reagan earlier, President Reagan. One of his famous supposedly off being caught on a live mic, which he really wasn't. He knew that it was a mic test, and he knew that somebody would be recording it. And he made a joke. He said, "I've just passed legislation banning the Soviet Union. The bombing starts in 10 minutes." Now, he had a sense of humor, and he knew what he was saying was going to be picked up, and he knew that people would react poorly to it. But at the same time, you know, he had a purpose with the things that he did and the things that he said. And, you know, we had this marvelous relationship between President Reagan and Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher during the 1980s in particular, that went a long way to defeating the Soviet Union and ending the Cold War. And, of course, the Union, I should say the cooperation, the working together between Canada and the United States with groups like the North American Air Defense and NORAD there, and other things between the various military on other levels and intelligence gathering and everything, and setting up the Dew Line Advance early warning radar. All of these things helped keep the free world free and safe during the Cold War following World War II up until the end of it, and then, of course, culminating when the Berlin Wall came down in 1979. I tell you, when I first was assured the Cold War was over, personally, having been in the Cold War and seen some of the stuff that the Soviets did, I was always a little suspicious until I went into a Walmart in Florence, Kentucky, and found pieces of the Berlin Wall in plastic bags for sale in Walmart in Florence, Kentucky. Now, I don't know that they really came from the Berlin Wall. Maybe if you opened up the bag and turned it over, it might have said made in China, but I don't know. But at any rate, that's when I became fairly confident the Cold War was over, when chunks of the Berlin Wall were being sold in Walmart in Kentucky. But welcome back to the program, Terry. We had a break there, and thanks for holding.
Yep, no problem. I've been studying lately on this one book. It's called John F. Wavebord, W-A-L-B-O-R-D.
Okay, not familiar with it myself.
It's on every prophecy of the Bible.
Oh, okay, that sounds very interesting.
And I just finished studying or reading up to 2 Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians.
Oh, yeah, 1 and 2 Thessalonians is some of my favorite. Well, I hate to say they're my favorites, because I read something else, I'll say, no, this is my favorite. But those are some of my favorite portions of the Scripture, two of my favorite books. In fact, at our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, we just started a couple of weeks ago going through 1 Thessalonians. And so I just finished, I believe it was 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 today. In our morning service at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and a tremendous book. It really is short, but a lot of tremendous truths in it.
Yeah, God, Paul had a lot of love for people, and I always wished the best for them. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's, in Thessalonians, of course, they had problems with unbelievers too, and they were always trying to steer them down the wrong path. And one of the things they were talking about was the resurrection. It's in trying to steer him wrong in the wrong direction on that. You know, when he was going to return, they thought he was going to return even back then.
Oh yeah, in fact, they were afraid that believers that died would miss the resurrection.
Right.
And they thought you had to be alive when the Lord came back, and that's why Paul wrote some tremendously comforting words when he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 13, he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," meaning dead, "that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." And those are comforting words. In fact, later on he says at the end of that chapter, verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words."
That's right. Amen. And that's what we should do with one another. Not only we should should always comfort one another.
Yeah, and you know, bringing up Thessalonians here, 1 Thessalonians, as I was getting ready to start preaching through 1 Thessalonians, I was reading where some people tried to say that, well, they didn't think that this book really belonged in the Bible because there were no major theological topics in it. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, it's got some of the strongest. In fact, that chapter there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that section right there, the last half of it, starting where I started reading there in verse 13 through verse 18, is one of the strongest teachings on the catching away of the believers, what we call the rapture, in the entire New Testament. It rivaled only by 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And absolutely tremendous. And there's other, and that's not the only good things that's in it. But yeah,
I mean, I never realized until I was reading a bunch of this in the book that I'm reading.
Yeah,
it talks a lot about good stuff.
Oh yeah, even in the very beginning, I was sharing with our church that where he says in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus, that's Silas, and Timotheus, that's Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he's talking about this, he constantly links God the Father and Jesus Christ together, even in verse 3, where he at the end of the verse says, of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. And I talked about, I for time's sake, I'm not going to turn there, but I talked about how if you go over to into Isaiah, I think it's about chapter 44 or something like that, we have several passages that link God the Father and God the Son there together as one God. And so this is a indication of the Godhead, which we know is God the Father, God the Son, that's Jesus Christ, and then, of course, God the Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, and so we got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost linked together, and so we have a statement here also indicating the Godhead,
right.
And, you know, absolutely tremendous. That's a pretty strong theological statement there, and you know, it's just on and on, but it's a tremendous book. I encourage people to study it and then follow up, unless I feel led otherwise. I'm going to go from this into 2 Thessalonians, and because they really go well together.
Yeah, it's all really good stuff.
You know,
we need to know, you know, like the Lord's Day, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah, and there's much more in there, and a lot of comfort and a lot of encouragement. And not to mention the tremendous prophetic themes that we have talking about the return of Christ and the catching away of the believers that's mentioned here in this book. But yeah, so
we get a new body,
and especially when you tie that in with 1 Corinthians 15, where it talks about how we're changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This corruption puts on incorruption. This mortal puts on immortality, and you know, it's just tremendous things that we've got to look forward to. And there's also a tremendous statement that shows us it defeats the ungodly topic or doctrine of soul sleep here too in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, there's people who get caught up in this nonsense that when you die, you sleep in the grave until the resurrection. And that's defeated here because, you know, I read there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, where he's talking about not being ignorant. And then verse 14 says, even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And when you read and pay attention to what's being said here, Jesus is in heaven. He's not sleeping in the ground somewhere. Remember, he ascended up into heaven, Acts chapter 1. And the angel said to the disciples that he's coming back the same way that he left. So he's coming back from heaven. He's already risen from the grave, so he's not sleeping in the grave. He's in heaven, and he's preparing a place for us. And then it says this in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, prevent means, in this sense, to precede. We will not prevent them from being first, if you want to think of it that way. We're not going to go before them. And it says, for the Lord himself shall descend with heaven, or from heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They say, see, there's soul sleep. They're sleeping in the grave. Now, wait a minute. He said Christ is going to bring the dead with him. But then it says, the dead in Christ rise first. What is the explanation? When we die, remember Paul said, absent from the body means to be present with the Lord.
With the Lord.
So the body goes into the grave. The soul and the spirit go to heaven to be with the Lord. They don't sleep in the grave. That's nonsense. That's not biblical. They go to be with the Lord in heaven. The body, the soul and spirit go into the presence of the Lord. The body goes into the grave. So the soul and the spirit, if we read this and understand what's going on here, verse 14 says, even so them also, the soul and spirit of them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And then verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, as we read there, and it says, and then the dead, the bodies of the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's what's going on. The soul and spirit come with Jesus from heaven, and the body which is in the grave is risen, and it is changed. And then it says in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And of course, 1 Corinthians 15, that's where it says we're changed. This in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This body is changed into an immortal, incorruptible body with no sin nature. And
that's
so,
pretty quick. A twinkling of an eye. That's
yes,
pretty quick.
That is very quick. And speaking of quick, I noticed our time is going quick. I still got a couple more phone calls to get to.
Okay.
So, but
we could talk on this.
Oh yeah, this is one of my favorite parts of Scripture. I really like talking about, you know, the return of Christ and the second coming. And maybe there's a reason why some people didn't want 1 Thessalonians in the Bible. They didn't want people to know about this. The devil doesn't want people to know about this, and that's why he tries to confuse people and rob people of words of comfort. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And then, of course, when you get to chapter 5, it tells us that believers are not going through the tribulation. We're not appointed under wrath. And so, well, there's a lot more that we can touch on. We'll have to pick this up again another time, Terry. So, but
I got a lot I could talk about.
Absolutely. So I appreciate you calling about that tonight. We'll have to catch up with you again. So, happy Veterans Day to you, and thanks for calling.
You guys in America, too.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And we're going to pick up our next caller here. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Nancy, who's been waiting patiently as well. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Very, very fascinating. You know, when I was on hold listening about Veterans Day and then Carrie talking about, you know, you and Terry talking about the rapture and, you know, second coming, that's always very fascinating to me too. But my question is about Isaiah 5:20.
Isaiah 5:20. Let me turn over there.
Isaiah 5:20. Mm-hmm. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, would you say an appropriate application of that verse is what the Democrats accuse Trump of doing? Like, they're for abortion, he's pro-life, they're anti-Semitic, he's pro-Israel, he's for the Christians and the Bible, and they are not. They basically seem to hate America, where Trump is patriotic, and these are all good things, I mean, scriptural things. So they're talking about Trump as if he's evil, but actually they're calling, I mean, would you say that's an application of Isaiah 20, calling evil good and good evil?
Well, really, yeah, good? And we think about this. I was just, when you're talking about that, I was preaching this evening at our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, in Proverbs chapter 6, and think about this for a minute. And this is what I was mentioning. In Proverbs 6, verse 12, and we'll tie this in with here in Isaiah 5:20. It says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a forward mouth, Okay. And this word froward, it's not a misspelling of forward. A lot of people read that word in the Bible and they just read over it. They think they read the word forward because it's spelled the same, only the R and the O are reversed. Instead of F-O-R, it's F-R-O. And this is a really good word. This is a word, it's in the dictionary. It's just not used much today. And I would contend this word needs to be brought back into more common usage. Forward essentially means to be twisted or perverse. And so we're talking with a guy that has a froward mouth. And we looked at several other usages of the word froward and the speaking. And what you read there in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, them that call evil good and good evil, that's twisting that put darkness for light and light. This is forwardness. And forwardness is a bad thing. It's linked with wickedness. It's linked elsewhere with evil men. It's something that God hates. And so they do this because, well, look at verse 14 here in Proverbs 6, verse 14. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. And that's what they're doing when you think about this. I asked our church today as I was going through this, I said, you know, here the Bible says that marriage clearly is between a man and a woman. He created Adam and Eve, man and a woman for husband and wife. And now they're claiming that it is, it's not right to claim that marriage is only a man and a woman, but we have to accept man and woman and woman. And what they've done is they've called evil good and good evil. That's twisted and perverse. And most people can identify with this, and I use this example because people can identify with it easily. We have these laws, we call them SOGI laws, sexual orientation and gender identity laws, much like what was passed by the Cuyahoga County Council, much like was passed by the Medina City Council, much like what is being considered down in Columbus in Senate Bill 11 to be pushed upon the entire state. And that's the idea that a man who claims to be a woman can go into the women's restroom, go into the women's locker room, go into the women's showers and claim that he's a woman. And if anybody says anything against him, if the women get upset, they're the ones who have a problem. They're the ones who are wrong. Well, that's twisted and perverse. You know, we've had cases across the country where teenage girls in a high school gym class have been in the locker room after PE, after, you know, gym. They've been in the locker room, and they're in the shower, and then they're getting dressed. And a male student comes in and begins to undress and go into the shower with the girls. We're talking high school kids. And when the girls get upset, they're told, oh no, you cannot get upset. If you do, you'll get in trouble because Joe, who is now going by Josephine, is really a woman in a male body. And if you get upset with him being there, and if you voice discomfort, you're going to make Josephine feel like less of a woman. Well, Josephine is not a woman. Josephine is a man with a froward heart, a froward mind, twisted and perverse. And the people who say that those young women that are embarrassed and uncomfortable with a male student undressed in the shower with them in high school, the ones that say that they have a problem, they're twisted and perverse as well. They're froward in their thinking and the things that they say. And that's exactly what we see happening, isn't it, in the world today?
Oh, absolutely. And, yes, and, Mr. L., that is probably the best example of Isaiah.
Yeah, there it is. Whoa. Yeah, so and that's obvious. What God says to them.
So obvious, yeah.
Yeah, that's what God says to them. Whoa. Woe is not hold on there. It's W-O-E. It's not W-H-O-A. It's W-O-E, meaning troubles to them, judgment to them. Uh-huh. And let me take you back to Proverbs chapter 6, when it says in verse 14, forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. The very next verse says, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly, suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. God one day is going to hold them account for their forwardness. God is one day going to hold them accountable for their twisted, perverse actions. And that's why he says woe to them.
Okay, well, thank you. Listen, yeah. I think you only got a couple more minutes. You have another caller.
I think you're the only one right at the moment. Our other caller dropped off.
Okay, but, you said there was another person.
Yeah, well, there was, but they dropped off. But when you look at this, there's a series of statements of woe talking about judgment that's coming to these people. Let me just read through that again. We're Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. And he says judgment is coming on them. Isaiah 5:24, therefore as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. So judgment.
Yeah, do you think these evil Democrats are going to go up and smoke them?
The Bible talks about the lake of fire, and unlike the false teaching of annihilation, where the Seventh-day Adventists teach that you're thrown in a lake of fire, you burn up like a piece of tissue paper. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 14 that the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Of course, at the end of the tribulation, the false prophet and the Antichrist, the beast, are thrown into the lake of fire. Then after the thousand-year reign of Christ, the great white throne judgment takes place, and the unsaved and those that have rejected God in their that are currently in hell are brought before the great white throne judgment, and then they're cast into the lake of fire. It says where the beast and false prophet are, meaning they're still there burning in the lake of fire, and the smoke of their torment, the lake of fire, goes up forever and ever before God.
So can we make an assumption that those that make those silly laws, that they are lost, so they will be going to hell?
Well,
I can't imagine making up those. Can we make an assumption that they are lost?
Well, I would make the assumption that they're making those forward laws because they are lost, because the heart of man is wicked. The Bible says it's deceitful and wicked. And that's why we need a Savior, because we have a sin nature. And even Christians can be brought into doing wrong things. But when you have an unsaved person who doesn't believe that they're answerable to God, they become a god in their own mind. They don't care what God of the Bible has to say. Well, one day they're going to be unpleasantly surprised. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them that they put their faith in Christ. We're running out of time, and we're going to quickly end here. I just want to share something. Don't give up praying for these people. There's a guy in the Bible by the name of Saul that people thought, I'm sure people thought this guy never can be reached. He became the Apostle Paul when God touched his heart.
Yes, he was amazing.
And God changed him. He can change these people as well. Hey, Nancy, thanks for calling tonight. We're out of time. And I want to say happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans. And thank you for your service. Get out tomorrow. Do something for the veterans in your life. And thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.